This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, November 12th, 2021. I'm Mark Boulanger. In the report this week, unions at the COP26 climate change conference, the Labour Start report about union events and singing. This is Radio Labour. The UN Climate Conference in Glasgow, COP26, ended on November 12, 2021, with many still concerned that the world will not be able to limit global temperatures to within 1.5 Celsius of pre-industrial levels. But trade unionists attending the conference were able to get their voices heard, and they won commitments for the labor movement's demand for just transitions to green, sustainable economies. One of the unionists attending the conference was Walton Pantland, a communications officer for Industrial Global Union. He reported on the demonstration of 100,000 people held as the conference began.
We're in Covent Grove Park in Glasgow, and it is a miserable day here today. It's pouring with rain. And the wind is blowing, but it hasn't dampened the spirits of the trade unionists and the other climate activists who have come here together to demand climate justice. There is a huge crowd here in the rain. There are people from all over the world, and there is a big contingent of trade unionists here behind me who are mobilizing to fight for a just transition.
We need the voices, an organisation of working people. We need jobs for the future. We need safe, secure energy for the future. We need to transform our transport systems and our homes. And if we leave it in the hands of the corporations, then our voices and our needs will be left behind. And that's why here in the UK and across Europe and across the world, we need to build a movement of workers and of trade unionists to demand the change that we want on our terms that projects our jobs, our futures for ourselves and for coming generations. We have indeed a world to win. Solidarity, have a great day. Enjoy the weather.
Mr. Pantland also reported on events as the conference continued into its second week.
We're now in our second week of COP26, and the question is, what have we achieved? What's happened? Where are we going? Have we managed to save the world? And to be honest, it can be a little bit hard to tell because there is so much going on at the same time, and it can be really confusing to work out what it all means, what the big picture is. I have been going to trade union events every day. There are a number of events every single day. If you wanted to attend every event that there is, you wouldn't be able to. There are sector-specific events, events related to trade unions and gender, trade unions and young people, trade unions and the rise of the far right, and all of it related to climate change and just transition and the need for us to work together to build a better world. I am cautiously optimistic, as are many of the other trade union delegates who are here, because we feel that the negotiations are going quite well. It seems that our political leaders learned from the COVID crisis that existential threats need to be taken seriously, that everyone dying is not good for the economy. And as a result, there seems to be a greater commitment to making real change at this COP. What the trade unions are most excited about is, firstly, the large amounts of money which have been committed to decarbonizing the economy, both in the developed and the developing world. If this money is used well, it means that we can create many, many, many hundreds of thousands and even millions of good green union jobs and have an opportunity to reindustrialize our economies. And the other commitment that is really important is the commitment to just transition principles, which was made by around 30 countries last week, and those countries include the US, Canada, the UK, the European Commission, and a number of individual countries in the European Union, and they have committed to applying just transition principles to all their funding. So if they fund decarbonization in the developing country, it has to respect just transition principles. Trade unions have had a really, really strong voice here. We were part of the trade union workers' bloc on the 6th of November. On Saturday, there was a big demonstration in Glasgow with 100,000 people all demanding climate justice. And we feel that our voices have been heard.
One of the union sessions at the conference was addressed by Sharon Burrow, the General Secretary of the International Trade Union Confederation. The ITUC represents national union centers such as the Ghana Trades Union Congress and the AFL-CIO in the United States at the world level.
There's no doubt that you have done a fantastic job, because just transition is on everybody's lips, at least at this global level. We've still got real work to make it meaningful, though, on the ground for workers. And even at the global level, with governments and companies, we need to be very clear about what our demands are. At its very heart, of course, for workers, it's about jobs. It's about jobs, jobs, and jobs. We want governments to have jobs plans everywhere, but we want companies to have jobs with, of course, unions.
Also addressing participants at the union session was Francis O'Grady, the General Secretary of Britain's Trades Union Congress, the TUC.
In a very practical way, that means that steel workers in South Wales are fighting for the tech they need and the investment they need to turn that steel green. We've got automotive workers all over the country who literally, including my dad, many decades ago, were arguing back then for an alternative workers' plan to produce electric vehicles. Weren't listened to right back then. Okay, they're listening now.
Also attending COP26 was Samantha Smith, the director of the ITUC's Just Transition Center. I asked her to describe Just Transition.
A just transition is an idea that comes from our movement, the labor movement. So it comes out of North American unions and some of their partners a couple of decades ago. And it's basically the idea that when you're trying to address a big problem like climate change, that you can do it in two ways. You can do it in a top-down, unjust way that makes people lose their jobs, or you can do it in a process with workers and our unions, with employers, sometimes with governments, where you basically negotiate what's going to happen to people's jobs at a workplace level, at a company level, at a national level, and even at a sector level. And instead of looking at this just as an exercise to cut emissions, you look at it as an exercise to make sure that everybody has social protection in this time of big transition, that the content of jobs may change, but jobs aren't going to get worse, and they might even get better, and that new jobs that are going to be created aren't going to be a bunch of sort of union-busting new entrants, but actually that the new jobs are going to be good jobs.
What can unions and their members do to support a just transition?
We are already doing it. So I have to say that over the last 5 years, which is about how long ITUC has had a Just Transition Center. I personally have gotten to see so many of the national federations and unions at all different levels getting active on this issue. And what unions are doing is, one, they're pushing governments to deliver what I mentioned at the climate negotiations, so to deliver a process with unions at the table that's going to produce decent jobs and social protection while it brings down emissions. So that's a sort of big national policy level. At the sector level, for example, we're seeing the industrial unions in Europe having a massive campaign across Europe for a just transition for workers. They're campaigning through collective bargaining and also through national and European level policy work to get good jobs for workers. In South Africa, the unions collectively bargained for a national commission on just transition and climate change, and they're now negotiating at the national level a framework agreement on just transition. I can go on and on, but there's really a lot happening, and in a lot of countries, including countries like Brazil, where our comrades at COOT Brazil have successfully negotiated with their affiliates a just transition process at the state level involving employers and government and the energy sector.
Here with his report about union events is Labor Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
This week, our top stories section included links to coverage of the arrest of an Algerian trade unionist. Ramzi Dardar's release is the subject of one of our current online solidarity actions. We had stories from Sudan about the repression of strikes organized by a wide variety of unions as they pushed for a return to civilian rule. Especially hard hit have been the teachers' union, which had hundreds of its activists arrested, and the bank workers' union. The latter had declared a revolutionary strike for democracy. Within hours, its leadership disappeared and are presumed to be in prison. And of course, we also carried updates from unions around the world as COP26 came to an end. The reviews are generally negative, especially with regard to the chances of an effective just transition for workers. For our Working Women page, our volunteers found coverage of a sit-in by nurses in Papua New Guinea as they protested gender-based wage theft, sex workers' organizing efforts in Thailand, and how unions have integrated the demand for increased minimum wages and pay equity across Europe. A small sample of the stories appearing on our health and safety page and Newswire this week included a study of the mental health effects of continuous monitoring of workers' performance as they work from home or as delivery drivers in the United Kingdom. We also carried several stories about yet another assault on nurses in Canada, where workplace violence is becoming routine for healthcare, education, and retail workers. And we covered demands for an investigation into the assassination of a Somali journalist. Our photo of the week is of CTAA members in Buenos Aires who've mobilized to take back their city after the local council surrendered much of the city's green space to developers. Labor Start hosts online solidarity actions at the requests of unions around the world. This week, we'd like to highlight an urgent appeal for online solidarity with Swedish warehouse workers who, despite that country's union-friendly international reputation, are facing a concerted effort to break their union. In just a few seconds, you can do your part by sending a solidarity message. Look for details of this and other campaigns on our site. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
And that's it, Labor News You Can Use. You can listen to our features and daily newscasts at radiolabor.net. I'm Mark Boulanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.